So as you think about this past year, how has God been growing and maturing you? Has it been a hard year? Changes and challenges? Yet have you sensed the Lord's presence in those changes and those challenges? One of our roles as pastors, I think, is to help you, to equip you, to encourage you, to connect the dots of how God is working and shaping your life. The ups and downs, the moves, all those things together. There is a blank note card in your bulletin you might have received. I hope it hasn't fallen out. But it's there for you to write down some thoughts about your life, how God has worked in your life in 2017. I just don't want this year to go by without you putting some thought to this past year. In February, we're going to have a service here where a few of you, hopefully, are going to speak about how God has worked in your life. But for now, just start with a note card. Take some time to think about it. And when you've written down a few thoughts about the things that God has done in your life, it doesn't have to be perfect. Pass them to a friend that you trust. Someone who will pray for you and think about you. And if no one else comes to mind, please pass that note card to me. I would love to hold that note card in confidence and maybe pray for you and, with your permission, ask you the questions, the hard questions that maybe no one else might take the time to ask you in your life. First slide, please, Joel. In 2017, for me, God has really shown me a part of life that I have not seen before. He's introduced me to 402, as of this past Friday, 402 beautiful families, different families from all states of the Union. The call come together to bury a family member or a friend up at Arlington Cemetery. Army cooks, Army pilots, Army medics, engineers, nurses, even some chaplains, even some undercover chaplains, some Army veterinarians, Army optometrists, mechanics, journalists, Army doctors, diplomats, soldiers of all types and sizes. I even recently met someone who invented that M16 little firing pin. You know that firing pin when you take a part of M16, you put it back together? That little firing pin. Someone who invented it and patented that little thing. I even met a man who helped write the NCO creed. No one is more professional than I. Leader of soldiers, the backbone of the United States Army. I've also seen the Lord's example in the faithfulness of many spouses and the sacrifices that are just as meaningful as a soldier's. Faithful and loyal, moving right along with their soldier all through the years. One story about a woman who was actually one of the first women to row into Japanese Yokohama Harbor with her three little children under her arms, the first wave of independence that came into Japanese harbor, while her husband flew an airplane over him and dipped his wings, saying hello to them as he passed by. This last picture you see, though, up on the screen right now is a picture of Major General Joe Franklin, former West Point Commandant, 70s and 80s, in honor of Beat Navy Week, right? Everybody say Beat Navy? All right. Travis, I didn't hear you. You need to say Beat Navy very well. All right, okay, that's more like it. In honor of General Franklin, he played football for part of his years at Army, but during his Army career, he was in charge of dismantling a nuclear reactor that was in Greenland and taking it back to the United States. And during a different, very dangerous time when they had to expose themselves to the radiation, instead of sending the lowest ranking soldier down to sense the radiation, General Franklin went in himself. Joe wrote a book, and in his book he said, "I believe that the highest calling for which we are put here on earth is to serve." And he said, "I'm really convinced that successful leaders have to think that way." The words and actions of life, the living words, how you lived out your words, That's what people remember. I say all this to help you understand why I'm a little conflicted this Christmas. While I feel this strange tension this particular Christmas, I'm conflicted because maybe that the best way that we should honor someone is to remember their life, not just their birth. So if I have just one chance to speak with you this Christmas, I would love to encourage you in a way that I think is the best way to remember Christmas and to honor Jesus. Yes, remembering Jesus' birth is very good. But living out Jesus' words of life is so much better. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy Bethlehem just as much as any of you. I have a manger scene out in front of my yard made of pallets of wood that we collected from a dumpster a couple weeks ago and 2.5 bales of hay. Next Sunday night, right outside our house, if any of you guys are around, we're going to sing and dress up and retell the Bethlehem story like a Christmas walk. Hot chocolate for you and your kids if you want to come. Jesus' birth is spectacular. And it's so much more than a birthday party. If anything, it's a rescue party. God sending his rescue to save us from this disease of sin we can't get rid of. And Jesus' birth, so much can be said about a calendar event that is aligned with the stars in the sky. But unless you can correct me, I have never heard or read Jesus say specifically, "Remember my birth." But yes, we have heard Jesus say, "Remember my body." Jesus never led a pilgrimage back to Bethlehem, but his mind was always looking forward to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the ends of the earth. And instead of thinking out the past, the thrust of Jesus' words, as you know, is always about how to love God and how to love our neighbor right now with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. I've done a little math on my own and flipped through the Bible counting 234 chapters in the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. And in those 234 chapters, only 4.5 chapters speak of Jesus' birth. And for every one chapter that speaks of Jesus' first coming, there are 7 other chapters that speak of Jesus' second coming. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this Christmas, if we really want to celebrate Jesus and please him and please our Heavenly Father, yes, let's do remember his birth. But will the kindness, will the actions, will the living words of Jesus, the peace that we lit a candle for, the peace of God, will it be found among us here at Fort Belvoir? That is my burden for us, for you, and for me. And with God's help and the Holy Spirit's conviction, hopefully Jesus' fullness will be counted among us at Fort Belvoir. So may we please pray together and ask God for the help that he can provide. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our true Father, and we respect and we pause, we hallow your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And as it is accomplished here on earth, even here at Fort Belvoir, and fulfilled in heaven, give us the desire to refocus our priority to your kingdom and your will. Thank you for the needs you have met, for the food that we enjoy today, the food that we can choose by choice, the heat we have in our own homes, the health and the breath that we take for granted, the energy, even the ability to come to church. Father, forgive us. We know we are in debt. So please help us be a people quick to forgive others so that while we celebrate Jesus' birth here this Christmas, help us also celebrate his life-giving words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. words to live by this Christmas. Listen to Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. If you love others who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, for your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, and merciful even as your Father is merciful. Love your enemies. If God's magnificent character and the deep depth of his love will be known, then love your enemies. It's shocking and it's unnatural. The world doesn't know what to do with people who love the hard ones. The world has no answers. So when they see someone who loves the hard, perhaps some will look up and wonder where this strange love comes from. To do good to those who hate you. To not retaliate when others slap you. To give money to probably those who will never pay you back. To pray for the one who has abused you in the past. That is what Jesus has asked us to do. Why? It's not complicated. Verse 35 and 36, our Father is kind to the ungrateful, and our Heavenly Father is kind to the evil. It's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to sit with those who kind of think like you and have the same value as you, but the deep depth of love of God is shown when you get up and you look for someone around you who is not like you and you find a specific way to love them. This Christmas, what do you say? Let's be different. Think of the hardest person you know right now to love. And with the strength that God provides, would you first pray? And then would you act? And would you show them God's love? Love your enemies. We too were once enemies in the outside, but God has shown his love to us while we were enemies, right? Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Jesus' words for us again this Christmas. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? The lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite from the priestly tribe of Israel, someone who should have known better, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when you come back. Jesus said, Which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? He said, The man who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. So this Christmas, what do you think? How do you think we can best honor Jesus? For me, I think Jesus is less impressed with the manger outside my house. And I think he's more impressed by the kindness that I will show inside my house. First, kindness to my wife, and kindness to my children, to my parents and my siblings and my in-laws. But kindness also to my neighbors, which includes the strangers that he's put in my path. Have you come across anyone who's been hurt recently? Does anyone come to mind? You know, it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. If God has aligned Jesus' birth with the paths of the stars of the sky, surely he has aligned the people in your path. I like the details that Jesus gives us in this parable in verse 33 and verse 34. He says the Samaritan had compassion. Co means with. Passion means to suffer. Compassion means to suffer with. He bound up wounds. He poured oil and wine on the wounds. Expensive, I'm sure. He placed the victim on his own animal, his own form of transportation. He took him to the inn, probably out of his way. He was inconvenienced. His schedule was thrown off. A good reminder, I think, for us Christians that to hold our plans loosely, to leave space and even create space for God to use us. I have an old friend who used to tell me that God is looking for fat men, faithful, available, and teachable. Fat. If we want to honor Jesus, we need to be available. Then repeated twice, many of our emphasis are the words in verse 34 and 35, He took care of him. First, the Samaritan took care of him, then the innkeeper took care of him. I like that expression. Do you? Took care of him. The majority of families that I've met at the cemetery have told me that they have had the privilege of taking care of their family through Alzheimer's, through dementia, through stories of people taking care of 5, 10, 15, 20 years from the effects of military service. Battlefield wounds in our spirit, battlefield wounds in our soul. Those who take care, they are the heroes in God's book, as you read today. One last thought about those who take care. I know here at Fort Belvoir, we have many people who take care of us, and we have the fire station, the Wounded Warrior station, the gate guards who check people every day and protect us in many ways, the MPs, the commissary baggers, the Fairfax outside, that retirement facility, so many places. I don't know if any of you would like to partnership with me, with our church, with our chapel, this coming year, but how beautiful would it be if we had people here who would coordinate a project, an act of kindness, very simple, but a way that maybe once a month we would find someone to take care of those who take care of them. Let me know if you're interested. What would they love to see? What would make them look up and wonder? What kind of love comes from somewhere else besides the world? It's worth noting also that those who take care of others, there is a cost, time and inconvenience and change of plans, money. In verse 35, we read that the Samaritans took out 2 denarii, which is 2 days' wages. The average wage for those of us in our occupation here, in our profession, the military, if you average anyone from private to general officer, the average daily wage of us is $271 a day. So if this story of the Good Samaritan, or maybe we should call it the Good Belvoirian, if the Good Belvoirian would go to the ATM machine and pulled out a daily wage, 2 days' wages, that'd be $500. There's no formula for taking care of people. There's no specific dollar amount. Just be fully invested. Have the eyes to see what no one else is looking at. That's where Jesus' Spirit comes to play this Christmas. Look, I don't know who God is going to bring your way this Christmas. All I know is that the world is full, completely full, of people who expect you to walk around them. But this Christmas, keep your eyes open. I believe that God has assigned to each of us a specific person. Next slide, please. You know, today we're invited downstairs for a lunch, a simple lunch downstairs in the chapel. And so far we have worshiped God in our voice. We have worshiped God by giving. We have worshiped God through prayer. We have worshiped God by loving a family that's leaving soon. And we continue to worship God through our fellowship. I think that's what would make Jesus happy. As you sit together, ask each other a question. How has God grown you this past year? Sit with someone you haven't sat before and maybe ask them a question and listen to them. And then ask another question. What's the best way that we can love an enemy? You up for it? Maybe pass them a note card too and share with them about how God has worked with you this past year. Would you please pray with me?